This morning, we started a series, and it's going to go for a few weeks here yet. We're going to kind of weave it in amongst Brother Forkpaw and such. We started the series. It's called Living a Life of Significance. And you can be seated for right now. And how many of you would like to know that your life has a purpose and a significance to your life? I think we all feel that way. I think we all feel that we have value. We have value to add. It's just sometimes we don't know how to find that value. We don't quite understand. I meet a lot of people that don't really know that they have as much value as they have. I believe that every person has a tremendous amount of value and a tremendous amount of purpose, and it's up to us sometimes to connect with God to find that value and that purpose. So that's what this series is somewhat about. It's about living a life of significance. We started this morning, we talked about the mind, about resetting our mindset. So this morning we had part one. You can go on our Facebook page, Calvary Gospel Church, or you can take and go online and to our website, and you can listen to the message this morning. You're going to want to listen to this morning because that's going to help tonight make a lot more sense as well. But I'm going to go ahead and continue tonight on resetting our mindset. The modern computer, how many of you have computers in your home? How many of you have a computer? How many of you have like a cell phone that's got like 32 gig of memory or greater? Your cell phone has more power than the first computer that was used to send the first astronauts to the moon. It just boggles my mind sometimes at the possibilities and at the abilities, I guess you could say, of a modern computer. That is, if you know how to use one. Now, I don't know how you are with your smartphones, but my smartphone, it really is smarter than I am. I hate to admit that. I don't like to admit that. My computer is a few years old now, but it's got a touch screen, and the other night I couldn't figure some things out, my wife and Brittany come downstairs as I'm studying, and I mean within just a few seconds they've got it all figured out, and I'm kind of feeling kind of dumb, you know. But that's just how it is. The modern computer, it is a marvel, and it reflects a marvel of human progress. Yet, in almost every way, the computer, when you look at the computer, it was conceived and was designed and produced almost as a replica of the human mind as far as how the mind works. We're getting a lot into this artificial intelligence and such, where that they're trying to recreate the human mind via machine. And when we look at this computer, a computer has really three basic elements to it. It has a screen, that's what we all look at. It has a central processing unit, which is called the CPU. That's the little box that fits on the floor that, you know, we're always, you know, having to clean all the dust out of the fan. You never clean the dust out of your fan. You run it till it burns up, you get a new one. So that's the CPU, the central processing unit. And then it takes an operator, or it takes a programmer, somebody to actually physically operate it. If you don't operate it, it just sits there, doesn't do anything, doesn't have any potential until there's somebody that sits down and actually operates that computer. For the purpose of this message tonight, we want to consider these three components as metaphors of our own spirit, of our own soul, and our own body. When we look at this, the screen is your natural or your physical life. The operator is the spirit, and the CPU represents the human soul or the human mind. And before we came to Jesus Christ, before we had a relationship with Jesus Christ, we were using an old operating system. Now follow me here tonight. Because we were lost, because we had not yet committed our life to Christ, we were using an old operating system, and we programmed all kinds of wrong things into our CPU. We had bad language in there. We had bad behavior. We had shortcuts in life. We would cheat, steal, whatever it was to get ahead, and we had some really bad web surfing habits as well. Anybody relate to any of this? We filled our CPUs with ungodly material. Then one day, we came to a church. We listened to a preacher. We felt conviction. We received the Holy Ghost, and we became a totally new person, a new person in Christ. And that day, the operator or the programmer of that CPU changed. Are you following me? A brand new righteous and a brand new spiritually alive operator was placed behind that same old computer and told to produce new images and new results on the old screen. However, because the CPU, understand this, had already been programmed and operated by the person that used to sit there, your old man, the old person, it still produces those bad images because those old habits are still on there. We try to surf the web of our minds and the old habits, the old bookmarks, the old historical, the old history data of our former user or our former self keeps popping up. The old programs are still running behind the scenes, even though new applications or new thoughts are already being installed. You follow me here? Sometimes we have viruses and spyware from the world continually trying to enter into and corrupt our new applications. Sometimes the old system crashes and we fall back into our old patterns of thinking, our old patterns of speaking, and our old patterns of behavior. Thankfully, God has given us a very special recovery system that will always restart and restore our minds, and that is prayer, that is confession of sin or repentance, and it is faith in God's word. That is where resetting our mindset comes into play. The only way to consistently change what is displayed on in the screen of our lives is we must reprogram that CPU, or we must reprogram our minds. The old files. Hear me now. The old files have to be meticulously dug out in that computer. They have to be deleted, and when they're deleted, they have to be replaced with new data. That's why prayer and fasting become so important, because it reveals to us where all those hidden files are at. Have you ever gone into your computer and then you go into the programs and the things that run, and it's just folder after folder after folder, and you have no clue what's in all of those folders? You're afraid to look in them, but every one of those folders has bits of information that's stored. For a while, you may look at the results on the screen, and you may be tempted to think that I'm looking at the same screen and nothing seems to have changed. But if you stick with the process, if you stick with what God has desired for your life, if you continue to delete the old and replace it with the new, eventually that screen will begin to display what the programmer desires. You will begin to see the reflection of Jesus Christ in you. This is really a large part of living a transformed life, living a life of significance. And the only way we're going to live a life of significance is we have to reset our mindset. We must devote ourselves to the task of deleting the old programmer's files, the old applications, the old history, while simultaneously replacing them with the new files and applications that reflect our new life in Jesus Christ. Just because your screen keeps displaying old programs doesn't mean that you have not changed. Some of you get frustrated because you think you're still stuck in your past, but listen, you are growing. And you're changing, and if you allow God to continue to work in your life, you will become a total new creature in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you have to renew your CPU or your mind. So let's look at our selected passages of Scripture for this series. We selected Romans 8, verses 5 through 11. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. When we're talking about this flesh, we're talking about this. It's what I look at when I'm looking. It's what you're looking at right now. You're just looking at my flesh. You don't see what's inside me. You can't see my soul. You can't see my spirit. You just see my flesh. And this flesh, it likes to do all kinds of crazy things. It likes to get in trouble. Sometimes it likes to go on binges. It likes to drink. Sometimes it likes to smoke. Sometimes it wants drugs. Sometimes it wants sex. Sometimes it wants all kinds of things. Our flesh is constantly craving something. We've talked about this, and I only have just about 4 or 5 more hours here to talk about food. We're going on a fast. 21 days. No beef. No chicken. No fish. No meat whatsoever. That's bad. That's tough when you like to eat steak. You like to eat, I'm not a live on kale type person. Okay? I like meat, potatoes, sweet potatoes with butter. And then some brown sugar melted in on there. And that butter just rolls out the ends of that sweet potato because there's so much in there. And you just take that bite and you can taste that cinnamon. Are you with me right now, folks? I'm sorry, brother and sister Knopp. I know you guys are already a week into your fast, but just plug your ears. You bite into that juicy steak and the juices run out on the plate. You have that grilled asparagus with little almond spears sprinkled all over it. You got bread that's got, butter that's to die for. You got a big ice-cold glass of Mountain Dew. That's heaven on earth. I forgot where I was going with this. We started talking, the flesh. There we go, the flesh. See how it happens? Or maybe get a little closer to home. I know we have a mixed audience in here, but maybe that guy or girl walks by and your brain automatically, your eyes, everything just, you go crazy. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, carnally here, not talking about a carnival here, carnally is talking about our flesh, our carnal flesh, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is in enmity against God, means it's opposing God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So that simply means if we live by our flesh and we allow our flesh to rule our lives, we're never, ever going to please God. No way it's going to happen. But we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this, or none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Righteousness is doing right. But if the Spirit of man that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So as we go into this series, we're going to cover about how do we intermesh our prayer and fasting, and how important it is for us to work, for all of this to work together to reset our mindset. Because you can't reset your mind by yourself. You can't do it. So our minds, when we look at our minds, we talked about this morning. Our minds have a tremendous ability, an incredible capacity to gain knowledge and use it in thought. It has the ability to learn and to associate. Our imaginations, we talked about this morning, our imaginations are the mind's eye. Our imaginations have the capacity to create possibilities and form new ideas with the mind and to envision them internally. It has the ability to create pictures in your mind. We've all have an imagination, and we all use our imagination from time to time. Then we have the memory of the mind. That's the flash drive. The memory has the capacity to recall massive amounts of information, experiences, events, feelings, and thoughts experienced by the mind. It has an incredible ability to remember the past. You can take and go into different places and smell different smells, and it will bring back thoughts and memories of your past. Then we have the mind's voice. The mind's voice is our emotions. Our emotions have the capacity to experience those inner passions, and associate those passions with particular events. That's why when we go to a funeral, most people, when they go to a funeral, it's very somber, it's very sober, and there's a lot of weeping and crying. You go to a wedding, on the other hand, and it's very uplifting, upbeat, unless you're a girlfriend of the groom, that it might not be so upbeat. Just trying to be real out there, I'm sure. I just really went off track right there, didn't I? Right now you could start talking about hot dogs and you would get me off track. The mind's judge, emotions. Parents, we deal this with our teenagers. Our teenagers go through these growth spurts. We call them growth spurts. They're really hormones within our body that are changing. It's just part of life. It's what we are. It's who we are. We can't change it. An illness, situations that stress us out. Then we have to add in another very important component to our minds, and that's the mind's judge. It's when you look at things and you know what's right or what's wrong, and that is our will, our ability to reason things out. It's within our wills that we form or develop the capacity to not just receive or take in information, but to take that information as it comes in, consider that information, and then make a determination on whether it's right or wrong. That's why we read in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh, so is he. So we have to be very careful here, because whatever we allow to captivate our thought process, whatever we think on, will eventually control our lives. This is really good stuff if you're struggling in your life right now. Because what are you thinking on? What do you continually think about? Whatever that is, if you think on it long enough, it will begin to control your thoughts, and then your thoughts will control your actions. We're talking about resetting our mindset. The life that you are experiencing today is largely a result of what you were thinking yesterday. That's why we read in Proverbs 4:23, the New Living Translation puts it this way: guard your heart above all else. Guard your mind above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I used to hear this. My old boss used to say this all the time. He's just weak in the head. And I used to think, what does that mean? Weak in the head. Some people just don't always think in the correct form. Why do they not think correctly? Because they were never taught to think correctly. They never had anybody to take and teach them and help them. So the mind's judge. Over time, we will subconsciously begin to make choices to speak and act in ways that are consistent with the prevailing thoughts in our minds. And yet, simultaneously, our thoughts carry the force of attraction. And as we develop patterns of thinking, we begin to draw into our life's experience events, people, and resources that resonate through our lives. Did you get that? The great news about this is how the mind works, how it functions, and how it processes information. It's that our minds have the incredible ability to change. We can change our minds. We can change our thoughts. It's with your mind that if you don't like the condition of your life right now, then change it. But you have to make up your mind to change it. Thus the scripture, Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you change your mind, your life will change as well. It's that simple. Please understand that God has given all of humanity, Every last one of us, we do not have to serve God. Did you know that? You do not have to serve God. You do not have to pay your taxes. You don't. Good luck with it for a long period of time. I'm just saying that. That's why they have federal prisons. They couldn't get Al Capone on anything, but they got him on tax evasion. Just a thought there. You don't have to serve God. You don't have to believe in God, but long term, there's going to be consequences. You see, your mind and my mind, your mind is your own responsibility. My mind is my responsibility. I can't do your thinking and you can't do mine. So God's word does not tell us what we shouldn't think about. Renewing your mind is not emptying your mind and using the willpower to keep wrong thoughts out. I don't want you to think, well, you know, how do I go out of here and I just can't think anything. You ever sat down and tried to think about nothing? A little quirk here. I'll ask my wife sometimes, what are you thinking? Nothing. How do you not think nothing? Maybe she has, I don't have the ability to not think nothing. I'm sorry. My mind is always going somewhere, thinking something. I just want to know for conversation, what are you thinking? Nothing. Well, then you're thinking about nothing. Your mind is processing nothing. You're thinking about something then. Anyway. It's an impossible task. Try it. The Bible concept of renewing your mind involves a spiritual principle. We talked about spiritual principles this morning that were foundational. I want to call this principle tonight, we're going to talk about this, the law of exchange. So if you're taking notes tonight, the law of exchange. The law of exchange teaches us that life operates on a constant stream of trades or exchanges. Now think about this. You must trade something in order to get something else. The life that you're living today is largely the result of the trading of choices that you have made in your past about your time, about your talents, about your diet, about your money, about your words, about your friends, and about your thoughts. If you don't like the results, in other words, if you want to change some part of your current life, you're going to have to make some different trades. This may seem far too simple, but the key to changing your life really isn't any more complicated than making the right exchanges. When you become born again, you exchange the old, negative, sinful condition of your heart for a new heart that is softened by the love and the life and the grace of Jesus Christ. Renewing the mind is God's way of extending the life of Jesus into every area of your life and relationships. Everything is about giving or receiving. Give and take. One thing gives. When something gives and receives something in exchange for what it gives up. The other thing receives the thing that it was given, and in exchange for that thing, it receives something else for it. There's no free rides in this. There's always an exchange, even when you're not aware of it. Somebody or something has exchanged something for what you have received. We call it cause and effect. You look at nature. Plants take in carbon dioxide and exchange oxygen for it. We sit here right now and we receive that oxygen and we exchange carbon dioxide for it that the plants need. So if we don't have plants, we're not breathing. If they don't have people, they ain't breathing. It's an exchange. God made it this way. I didn't design this. He did. It's a great design. Buying and selling. A person wants to sell something. You want to buy that something. You give them money in exchange for the something you want. You want to buy a pickup truck. You're going to go out there and buy it. The guy wants $5,000. You're going to give him $5,000, and you're going to drive away with a pickup truck. You made an exchange. He lost his truck, gained $5,000. You lost $5,000, gained a truck. We exchange our time at work. You may say, well, how does that happen? How many of you work for nothing? You go to work? Scott does. I'm sorry, man. You on commission? You go to work, and the boss says, I'll pay you $20 an hour. You're exchanging your time, and they have placed a value on your life. You are worth $20 an hour. You laugh about it, but is that not true? I'm worth more than $20. The boss says you're worth $20 an hour, and you're exchanging $20 for every hour that you live. You're making an exchange for a $20 bill. Then when the government's done with it, you get $5.50. That's a whole other level of exchange. We exchange our time at work. Exchange is a fundamental principle of life. Everything has purpose and value for it to participate in the exchange cycle. All things revolve around exchange. If there is no exchange, then you're committing robbery. It's a fraud. The principle of exchange can be broken for the moment, but it will be righted in time, and the price will have to be paid by the person that's committing the fraud or the robbery. Every day you exchange 24 hours of your life for whatever events that you do within that time. You ever gone to something and said, boy, that was a waste of life? I hope it's not that way here tonight. I hope there's some value coming out of this tonight. But I've been to a lot of things. When I'm done, I'm like, boy, I'll never get that 3 hours back. Wasn't a very good exchange of my life, my time, for whatever I was receiving. You give up part of your life doing something good or something bad every day. All life is based upon this principle. You can't get away from it. You can't expect to receive something unless you first give something. The principle is simple. You must give, exchange something to get something. Failure to participate in the exchange is going to have some dire consequences over time. You say, I'm worth more than 20, I'm not going to work, I'm just going to go hungry. Welcome to a long, extended fast. You will determine at some point in time within that period of going hungry that you probably will exchange something of far less value to get whatever you need. But you see, there has to be balance in all of this. The Word of God speaks of the principle of exchange in lots of different places. It doesn't call it the principle of exchange. But the principle is there. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given unto you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. He's exchanging, reaping for sowing. One who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. There's an exchange that's been taking place. Let us not become weary in well-doing, for in the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of the believers. Think of this and see. God gave man life, and an exchange was given him, and the exchange that man was to give back to God was honor and obedience. God gave man life. He breathed into man in the Garden of Eden. We read this in Genesis, and God breathed into Adam's nostrils, and Adam became a living soul. And in exchange for that life, Adam was to give honor and obedience back to God. Man would obey, and God would continue to exchange life to man. The first man, Adam, he broke this principle of exchange. to write the principle, Jesus Christ exchanged his life for our lives, thus allowing us or providing for us a new life free from the bondage of sin or the bondage of bad exchange. 1 Timothy 2:6 says, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the New Testament giving in its proper time. Now, it's important to understand the principles of exchange. We have to give something in exchange to receive the life he gave for us. So what am I saying here? I speak of us learning to give ourselves as living sacrifices to the cause of Christ. By giving our lives back to him, this process begins at repentance. When we are baptized, we take on his name. In the name of Jesus, we're baptized. And we're filled with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. We receive his power, his authority in our lives. So within this exchange, there becomes an expectation from God. Just as when you exchange your life, 1 hour of your life for $20 worth of work, there is an expectation. You expect your boss to give you that $20, and your boss expects you to make so many widgets for that $20. There's an exchange that's taking place. So God has an expectation of us. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, and now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commandments and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. So what does God expect from us in exchange for the blessings that he will do for our own good? He expects us to have reverence towards him. I talked this morning about Christian atheists, people that believe in God, but they don't do anything that God expects or asks of us to do. They say, oh, I believe in God, I'm a Christian, but I don't really do anything that God wants me to do. I don't really believe all of that Bible, but I believe in God, and I'm a Christian. He wants us to reverence him. He wants a relationship. Did you know humanity craves a relationship? Very few people are total loners in their lives. He wants us to walk after him. He wants a relationship. He wants us to love him. He wants us to serve him. I had this whole thing of serving God just so warped in my mind. I felt like, you know, God is this big God up here, and he's just going to make me do things I don't want to do. He's not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. You don't want to do it, you know what? Over time, he's just going to move on. He'll find somebody else that will. But I found that there's joy in serving. I love having people over for dinner and cooking a big dinner, grilling out. We got to get one more food story in here. I love smoked meats, man, brisket, CIP. I cooked a few, seems like a month ago now, some barbecue, eye of round, and some turkeys injected with Cajun and butter. I love to serve. I love to. Bishop says, we love for you too also. Well, in 21 days, Bishop, that'll be our goal. Obedience. And why does he expect all of this? He expects all of this for our own good. You see, God expects that everything we do, we honor him. And whatever we do, he expects us to do it with him being the reason as to why we are doing it. We are to work for his glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So within this principle, we must learn to exchange with God for your good and for the sake of your family. We have to learn to exchange with God and follow along the exchange. And with this exchange, there comes a level of expectation. And when we say, what does God expect? God expects Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. One of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question in Matthew 22, 35. Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So within that exchange, within that relationship, there's an expectation. The most important thing that we can do when we love our families is to love God. When God tells us to have no idols, it means nothing. Nothing before him, not now, not ever. You see, he gave this same commandment to Israel. When he gave this to Israel, he gave this back in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And God spoke all these words, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You see, God expects that nothing will replace his prominence in our lives. That's God's expectation of us, that we're going to put him first. You shall not make before yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. And you shall not bow down to them or worship them. Why? Why are we not to do this? For I, the Lord your God, I'm a jealous God. Punishing the children for sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. And if you could stand tonight and if our musicians can come. You see, God expects you to exchange your will. God expects you to change your will for his will. What we want to do in our lives and what he wants us to do, God says, you know what? I want you commit to me. I want your will to be my will. I want my will to be your will. You see, when we fail to exchange our will for God's, there's consequences that come with this. Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 16, 24, when Jesus said to his disciples, if any man must come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man who gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, God is telling us here tonight, what are you willing to exchange for your soul? Brother Shane, I have to be honest with you. My soul is the most valuable possession I will ever own. You see, how I take care of my soul is going to determine where I'm going to spend eternity. And a lot of times, we're so easy and so willing to exchange the most valuable asset that we have for just trinkets that the enemy is willing to give to us. God is saying, you're worth more to me than all of the world, and we're willing to work for minimum wage for the enemy. So to reset your mind, there has to be an exchange that takes place. What is your soul? What is your mind? What is your life worth tonight? What is it worth tonight? If you want to live a life of significance, you want to live a life of purpose, I'm just telling you right up front, it's going to cost you something. what are you paying right now? What are you paying right now? So as we close out this service, I just want to invite you to come up here to the front. Exchange a little bit of pride for a little bit of humility. Say, Lord, you know what? My life's just a mess. I didn't intend for it to be this way. I just made the wrong exchanges along the way. I thought some deals that were seemingly a good deal didn't turn out to be so good after all. We go through our entire life struggling with those bad deals and those bad exchanges. But God's saying, you know what? I can make all of that go away. I can make all of that new. Back like our old computers, everything going to change instantly? No. It's a process. But we have to be willing to go through this process. We have to start the process.
Are you hurting, broken, overwhelmed by the weight of sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with
down to the front. Come on and yield to the presence of the Lord. God has a great blessing for you.
Jesus is calling.
He has something very exciting for you.
Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for the drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He loves you and he has something great for you.
Joy from the ashes, a new life is born.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a great God we have. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus.